Well, again, good morning. It is great to see that we are well on our way to having a blessed day and just enjoying the singing and enjoying the communion together. And you know, one of the things that that you see, as you know, Dick pointed out, the songs kind of they have a tendency to to kind of change with the generations and be. You know, there's certain elements or aspects of songs that were written in early in the history of our country and those of our fellowship that really express a deep longing for seeing God in heaven, living in glory, mansion over the hilltop. That and as Dick pointed out, there seems to have been this. This deep long and a theological longing for the presence of God in heaven. The songs were dripping with scripture and theology. In the teens and 20s and 30s and 40s, and there's just this. There's a lot of songs written about, man, I want to go see God. I want to be in heaven. I don't want to be here any longer. I want to go to heaven. Not the newer songs. They kind of talk a little bit about that, but not so much. And so you think that maybe it has to do with the, the level of comfort or the level of okayness that we are with here and now, that maybe, maybe there needs to be a revival of that longing to go to heaven. I mean, we've got songs now. I want to go to heaven, just not today. But maybe we need to rethink that. Maybe we need to sing those songs about going to heaven right now. Going to heaven today, this minute. No, this minute. Just longing for that. There's a lot to be said for that, and I appreciate the song service this morning. And as we think about the songs and what they reveal from one generation to the next, as we continue with John this morning, we're going to reveal, we're going to see some revelations from John. We're going to see some more in John chapter 13 about having God more and more revealed to us and having the layers of our understanding peeled back, and so that this picture of God and who He is and what His, what exactly are His intentions towards us, and exactly what is it that He wants from me, and what is it that He wants me to accept from Him, and what does it look like for us to have a relationship with this eternal God? It's important to peel back the layers of our understanding, because as I've studied and as I've become more and more of a student of the Word, the one thing that I learn is that the only thing that hinders me from knowing God more fully is my broken understanding of Him. And the more that I study, the more that I read, the more that I pray over Scripture and over my observation of the world that we live in, because the Bible tells us that we can, that the truth about God, the reality about God, is revealed to us, not only in Scripture, but He's revealed to us in the breeze that we feel upon our face, or the trees that are always praising Him and clapping for Him. So as I pray over just observing creation and Scripture, the one thing I realize is that the only thing that's really getting in my way to understanding and having more fully of a knowledge and a relationship with God is not God's elusiveness. There's not His otherworldliness, but it's really my broken understanding that I cling to so often. And the more that I can be open to having God revealed to me, the more I know Him, the more that I come to know Him, and the closer I find myself being with Him. And this morning, as we look at the picture that's been up there for, I think, 4 weeks now of Revelation, the four horsemen and all of the imagery that we, that we associate with the revelation of God, there's a picture I also, last week we had the, Jesus or the, the likeness or the image that has been popularized as Jesus, walking away from us with the sheep behind Him. And I've had a couple of people come and say, I like that picture better. I really like the sheep picture better than the horses picture. And I'll be honest, I do too. I would much rather think of Jesus and the scripture is it's okay to, you know, it's consistently portrayed as that sheep picture where Jesus is walking, God is out in front of us and just drawing us and we're following him, because I don't want to get in these guys' way. I would just as soon see other things. And so I've got another picture for us this morning. Another pig, you know, maybe there's no sheep, but there are sheep. And in John chapter 13, starting in verse 1, we have a revelation of God that's painted for, you know, this picture, this word picture that's given to us. If you've got your Bibles, follow along and take turns looking, you know, going from that image to the word and back to the image and back to the word of God. And it says that it was just before Passover, the Passover feast, and Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he showed them the full extent of his love. In some translations or some manuscripts, it says that he showed them that he loved them fully, even to the end. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God, and he was returning to God, so he got up from the meal. Let's not gloss over that real quick. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. He knew that already he was, he had all authority and all power, and the universe and the will of God was at his disposal. He knew that everything was already under him. He could wield it as he saw fit. Now that's important, because remember what John reveals about Jesus in the very, very beginning in chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. So that we know that Jesus, the Word, the Logos, the expression, the truth about God, that's what Jesus, so he's got all of this authority, all of this power, everything has been put under his control, and he is the absolute expression about the truth of God and his nature and his character. And he says, he knew this. He knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and he was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now, there's all kinds of imagery there that we can, you know, spend all kinds of time on. We're not going to do that this morning, but think about God. In our culture, you know, we don't have the same, you know, cultural things and issues that they have, but it, you know, I'm standing up here this morning and I've got my coat on. You know, it's because it, you know, it's formal, it'll look good, covers up parts of me. It's formal. But if I took this off, you know, now I'm getting a little bit more casual. But see, now if every one of you are sitting here in a suit, let's say everybody's got a 3-piece suit on, everybody's dressed in a suit. And then I take my coat off. I take my tie off, unbutton, roll up my sleeves. Now, if someone were to walk into that room, they would think, these people are important and this guy works here. Now, the same, you know, they're all dressed alike in the clothes and the layers and the cloak and the tunic and all of that. You know, that there was, you know, it, you know, there was just a, you know, you were dressed, you were put together, and it was the, you know, what he's doing is he's singling himself out as this servant, as someone who just works here, as, you know, he's stripping away all of the garment, all of the pomp and the circumstance and all that goes along with being put together and well dressed and everything where it goes and all that. He's putting that aside and saying, none of this matters, and I'm lowering my, it's another image of him just lowering himself and saying, this is what This is what I want to do. I've got all the power. I'm the expression of God. Watch this. And he lowers himself and he takes on the form of a servant. See, Paul didn't come up with that. He just quoted it. He came to Simon Peter. He washed their feet. Now he wipes his towel around him. He's washing their feet and he's drying them. There's this contact. There, you know, the towel that's wrapped around him is getting wet, and it's around him and it's getting wet. And so there's this, you know, there's this contact with it. You know, he's not separated from the process. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And really, there's a better way of saying that is, "Lord, you ain't washing my feet." That's kind of what the language there says. But you don't sell a lot of Bibles putting the word "ain't" in there. And so, are you going to wash my feet? It's a rhetorical, sarcastic question. Like, you ain't washing my feet. Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. No, you shall never wash my feet." See, now he ups it a little bit. Not only, no, you ain't washing my feet, but you're never washing my feet. "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." So then in typical Peter style, he says, "Well, then wash it. Wash my head, wash my hands, wash me, wash all of it." And Jesus goes on to say, look, you don't have, you know, Peter, it's, you know, if he had a cloud, you remember at the transfiguration when Peter gets up there and says, "Oh, it's good for us to be," you know, Moses, Elijah shows up, Jesus glows and God speaks. And Peter says, "Well, it's good for us to be here. Lord, why don't we build 3 shelters or booths?" And then God moves in the fog machine. If Jesus would have had a fog machine, he could have used it right there. But he says, you know, "Oh my goodness, Peter, just be quiet." I mean, really, that you just want to see him just like, oh, if you talked less, it would be better. He says, a person who has had a bath doesn't need to be cleaned all over again. "You're clean, Peter. I just want to wash your feet. You just need your feet washed, Peter. I just, you know," and it's really not about your feet. It's about something else. But, you know, but keep talking, because that seems to be working well for you to this point. He says, "Look, I just want to wash your feet." He knew he was going to, you know, he says, "A person who's had a bath needs only to wash his feet. A whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." That's a prophecy about Judas. He says, "When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. You understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord." See, he calls me, he says, "You call me teacher, and you call me Lord. And you're right, because that's what I am. I am your teacher, and I am your Lord. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. No servant's greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who has sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." Now, what do we have revealed in this story about God? What do we learn about, in the, you know, think about this. John is the only gospel who writes this. He's the only one who even mentions it. None of the other gospels in Matthew, you know, Matthew was there. You know, Luke more than, you know, definitely in all of his research and all of his investigation, he had to have heard this. You know, Mark, fits so perfectly with the theme of Mark, because Mark is all about the shame of the life of the servant of the cross, of the suffering Christ. But John's the only one who brings it up. John's the only one who writes this to reveal this about God. What do we learn about Jesus, about the Logos, the expression, the truth about God? I think one of the things we see is God is not afraid to be God. God is not afraid to say, look, you know, regardless of what you think about me, regardless of your expectations of me, regardless of what you think I should or shouldn't be doing, what is or is not appropriate for God-like behavior, regardless of all of those things, I am God, and let me be God. I'm not afraid to show you who I really am. What we have revealed for us is that so often we're afraid to let him. We're afraid to, you know, Peter is, it just, you know, I imagine, you know, that at this point that Peter, you know, is just going berserk at this point. He has nothing to do, you know, because believing in Jesus to date is all about validating him. But believing Jesus is God does not validate him. Whether or not I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, whether or not I believe anything about God does not make him any more or less God than if I don't determine those things. So believing in him doesn't make him who he is or not make him who he is. Believing Jesus is God does change our response to being God's children. You see, what he's revealing is that, look, whatever you think I should or shouldn't be doing, that's not going to determine what I in fact do or do not do. All that it will determine is whether or not when you see the truth, when the truth about God, when who he is revealed, now what you're going to do. Now what? Peter wrestles with that to the very end. Peter wrestles with changing. He realizes that no matter what, I mean, he's tried to talk Jesus into so many things. He's tried to talk him into, to starting a riot. He's tried to talk him into, to all of, don't go to Jerusalem. You're not going to be killed. I'm not going to do. I mean, Peter has been trying to sell this to Jesus, you know, his idea of what the Messiah should be from the very beginning. And Jesus is saying, look, I'm God. I promise you, I know what I'm doing. Just let me be God. And what are you going to do with that? So as Peter's thoughts were racing, as he's just grasping at what do I do here? No doubt his feet were washed. No doubt he was, think about somebody that you hold in such high regard. I mean, you put them up as this ultimate ruler. I mean, they are the king of all, and they're going to deliver. I mean, they're just going to bring glory back to God's people and free Israel again for the last and final time. And I'm right there with them, and I'm going to get to see it and be kind of on the inside and be one of the top guys. And this guy is, I've seen him, man, heal people and bring them back from the dead and walk on water and calm storms and all of this stuff. And as he shames you into relenting to let him wash your feet, think about his mind just racing. Imagine at some point, oh no, that's fine, that's good. Oh, you don't have to get between the toes. I mean, no, that's fine, you're good. No, it's all right. I like them like that. You can leave that stuff between the toes. You don't have to do that. Here, I can just dry them off on my cloak. You don't have to do that. I mean, just falling over himself to, please just let this in. I mean, but the embarrassment, the shock. And then Jesus says, do this. What? You see, Peter's, throughout the rest of his life, we can see, his response to this is, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can do what you do, Jesus. You're telling me that you're telling me that you're going to die, that you're going to be crucified, and you're going to go to heaven. And after a certain amount of time, you're going to come back. And okay, that I get that, but how long? And now you're saying I've got to do what you're doing. I've got to act like you act. I don't know. Can I? Am I even able to follow you? I don't know if I can do what you do. I don't know if I can perform like you perform. I mean, this is a lot to take all of a sudden. I mean, I liked it when it was you were the boss and we were the underlings, and then, okay, you're going to go away, and the boss goes away a lot of times, and then the underlings, well, we just get to tell people what to do. I mean, we just get to rule this kingdom that you're setting up. We like that, but, can I do what you've done? The miracles, the service, the restraint. I mean, my goodness, the restraint. All of this power, and he doesn't take the bait of Satan to overthrow anything. Those Pharisees and those Sadducees and those people, they're asking for it. I mean, they're asking for it, Jesus, and he never, I mean, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I'm able to follow you. And what we learn is that what the expression of God, it teaches us is that being a child of God is about the child honoring God and letting God honor the child. I mean, in whatever way that he sees fit, in whatever way that he, you know, deems necessary at the time, he says, look, if you will just let me be God, I will lift you up, I promise. You don't have to deliver yourself. You don't have to do anything. I'll take care of everything. Let me honor you so that you can then honor me. And it's just the circle that keeps going. I don't know if I'm able to follow you. And then he's unsure if he even wanted to follow him. Because the revelation of God being God and we're being afraid to let him, sometimes when he says, now you go do this too, because we really, really want to act like God when all this power is given to us and we can say, peace, be still, or, fig tree, enough of you, wither. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that if I'm going to get to be God, I'm going to do that. Or, be healed, you be dead. I mean, all of those things, I can take that. But washing feet, accepting insults, the disbelief, the all of those, Jesus, I got to be honest with you. I really thought we were signing up for something else. Really, you said, hey, put your nets down and come follow me. And I thought, yes, I can do that. Manual labor, it's getting old, walking around, telling people what to do. I'm signing up for that. And this is not, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be you. I mean, you ever have those times when you're just like, I know I'm supposed to, the salt and the light and the hands and the feet and, but I don't want to be Jesus anymore. I don't want to be, I don't want to get spit on. I don't want to get, taken advantage of. I don't want to have the power to destroy this person and not do it. I don't want to be able to get back at someone who's wronged me and look them in the face and pray a prayer of grace over them. I don't want to be Jesus. I was signing up for the revolution. I was signing up for, all hands on deck. Where's my sword? Let's go and just, I was signing up for the conquest. I mean, I read about it. I've read about those battles. I want to be in those battles. I mean, because when you really get down to it, this does not even remotely look or sound appealing, does it? I mean, Peter's wrestling with some pretty big issues that I believe we wrestle with today. And as the revelation of God descends upon them, it has this miraculous ability to just shine light on us and reveal, I'm unsure if I even want to do this. It doesn't seem appealing at all, does it? I don't want to wash feet. Especially people who are in the process of wronging me. I don't want to wash feet, especially for people that I know are going, I mean, they don't deserve this. And he knew it. Peter knew it. He was unsure that he deserved to follow Jesus. He didn't, because there's this kernel of belief in there. There's this little seed of, I've come to this belief about the apostles that they did believe. They did believe that Jesus was the Messiah. But they didn't want to. I mean, they didn't. It's kind of like, Fred, at some point the Confederate Army knew they were going to lose. I mean, the writing was on the wall. But they didn't want to believe. They didn't, really, I can't escape it. He is the Messiah. He's the Son of God. I wish it were different. They wrestled with those things, guys, and I wrestle with those things. And I think that it's okay that the reality of God shines light on the reality of us so that we can wrestle with them also. And you see, because Peter's like, I don't want to wash feet. I don't want to be this. I don't want to do that. I don't want, I wish, you know, you ever just wish he was different? You wish there was a, you know, that maybe I did get credit for, maybe all of my good things were not, my righteousness were not just filthy rags. You ever wish that maybe I did get credit for being better than people, and they don't, you know, those people that live any old way they want to, and then maybe in their 50s or 60s or 30s or whatever, super duper old to you, they just get to come to the Lord and it's all fine. Well, I've been living like this my whole life. And then we think, I don't deserve to be here. Hate myself for thinking this way, because it's not Christ-like. And I want to be Christ-like, but I can't help but not be, because I'm just so shame-like, and that's not, I don't deserve to be where I am. I don't deserve this. I'm obviously not what God's looking for, because I'm not fully on board with this thing, Jesus. I'm not, you know, I say all the right things. I'll follow you to the death, Lord. But I know down deep in my heart that if they come knocking on my door, I'm going to say I have no idea who he is. I'm going to pray about it later, but right now I'm going to save myself. I'm not what you're looking for. I'm not a servant. I'm not a forgiver. I'm not a lover of the unlovable. And he wrestles with that. And you guys know the story. Jesus says, you're going to betray me. He says, no, I'm not. And he actually does. And then he runs out and he weeps. And he goes back to fishing. And about 7-8 chapters later, Jesus asks him, do you love me? After all of this, do you love me? He says, yeah, I do. I do. I mean, you're great. He says, well, feed my sheep. Oh, I don't deserve to do that. I don't know if I want to. I want to, but I don't know if I, you know, there's a part of me that wants to want to, but I don't know that I've got the, I don't know if I can pull it off. Do you love me? Yeah, feed my sheep, Peter. Feed, you know, I said, you're going to do what I was doing. You're going to follow me. You're going to be like me. You've got this important thing that I need you to do. God, I don't know. I don't know if I can. He says again, do you love me? I do. I think. I want to. I don't know if I can. And Jesus says, look, let me determine who I'm looking for. Let me determine. Let me get back to letting me be God. And letting me be the true revelation of God. Look, Peter, remember when I washed your feet and they were super dirty? That was me being the truth about God. Whether you deserved your feet washing or not, you needed them. Let me be God. Whether you deserve to be in my service, feeding my sheep, doing, being who I want you to be, whether you deserve it or not, you, Peter, you need to be in this thing. You need to be working. You need to be serving. You need to be following. You're going to mess it up. You're going to fall down. You're going to stumble. You're going to embarrass yourself all over again. But I promise you, you need to be where I'm wanting to put you more than you don't need to be there. So let me determine who I'm looking for. You see, as we understand more about God, you can't help. You know, God is light. God is light. In him, John says, in him there is no darkness. So the more that we are in the light, what's he going to do? Reveal more about us. He's going to, through the Peters and the Johns and all that, he's going to reveal more and peel back our understanding of him so that we are free to pursue him. Whether we feel like we deserve it, whether we feel like we're even capable, whether sometimes we even want to. So just trust me. Just trust me. And let me be God. And I promise you, I'm going to come get you. I'm going to take you where you want to go. This morning, just trust God. Trust the revelation of his word to not only teach us, but not only teach us about him, but to reveal to us about us. Are you unsure about things this morning? Are you unsure about your about your approach to God, your ability to perform, your level of deservedness? Are you unsure about your ability? So am I. I'm concerned about my ability to follow. I'm concerned about my desire at times to follow. I'm really concerned about my worthiness to follow, but we have to trust Him. Will you trust Him today as together we stand and as we sing?